Center is Cammy Marty. She's a co-investigator with the UAMS College of Public Health and the North Carolina PERC.
That's kind of weird. I will be giving part of the presentation, and actually Glenn's going to follow me with more of the results from our study with H1N1 in North Carolina. So basically what we decided to do, it was identified early on in the spring that in North Carolina, one of the things that health departments were having a challenge with is to stop and actually evaluate systematically their response, their initial response to H1N1, and write an actual after-action report for any of you who have ever written those. Those are quite long reports. Usually they're in a format that Homeland Security has come up with, and they take quite a bit of work if you're going to do them correctly. So it was identified that that was a need, and so we decided to not only write the after-action reviews, but to use that time to gather data while we were at health departments in North Carolina. So that's what we did. We had 9 health departments that we chose. Actually, we chose 10, and all 10 wanted to do it. We were thinking about 6 would. So we had time actually to do 9 health departments. What I'm going to talk about is the process, quickly the process of how we gathered data and wrote the after action reports, but also how that works with the Homeland Security framework currently for HCEP. I think it was mentioned in another presentation, and we'll talk about what HCEP is. So our process consisted of developing a method to evaluate how the H1N1 response played out in each of the counties that we visited. We decided to use the Homeland Security Exercise and Evaluation Program, which is HCEP. And we'll talk about the challenges with that, because usually that is used with exercises. So we chose a framework, then we selected the health departments based on number of cases and also whether they were accredited and non-accredited health departments. We had some that were accredited. We had a mix of both. We then conducted a pre-site call to discuss the visit itself and plan, and also we had a quick questionnaire before the call, and then we conducted site visits in all 9 counties. Generally, we would go for the first day, and in the morning we would meet. Each one of these health departments has what's called a preparedness coordinator. So we would meet with a preparedness coordinator in the morning and go through literally about 30 pages of questions. It sounds very long, but most of them were in a table format. If any of you are familiar with HCEP, it's one question, you know, all the way down. And then in the afternoon, we would do basically a hot wash or a focus group with all of their community partners that they felt played a role in the response to H1N1. So that's the afternoon of the first day. Often we would go back the second morning if there were still questions and do a quick debrief, but we found that usually we could do that at the end of the first day. And then, actually, I am still writing after-action reports. We're still reviewing those, but we're almost finished with them. So at this point, we're writing after-action reports, and we've already sent out most of those reports, a draft. So HCEP, I'm not sure how many in here are familiar with HCEP, but it provides a framework for exercise development, evaluation, and improvement planning. And let me say, we don't have a lot of time here, and that's a 3-day course. So there is going to be some assumption that some folks in here are a bit familiar with it, but I'll give a brief overview. We did choose HCEP because that's basically what is out there. Now, there is a RAND study, but we had already written the protocol, and it actually follows the RAND study. And that is pretty similar for a look-back study to the HCEP format. So we use HCEP. It evaluates actions taken versus what the predetermined metrics HCEP has, predetermined metrics, and you evaluate during an exercise how they met those metrics, or those benchmarks, while they performed during an exercise. Improvement planning based on lessons learned from performance gaps observed. So what you do is you plan an exercise, you evaluate the exercise based on some metrics, and then you write an after-action report. Not exactly what we can do in a real event. These are just some, because I'll be referring to them, there's some tools that you use during HSEAT when you go through this process and this framework for developing and evaluating an exercise. The first thing, the first tool is target capabilities list. Many of you that have been doing preparedness for a while are probably familiar with these. These were back in 2002, were developed by Homeland Security, but also much input was from the Centers for Disease Control and other public health folks around the country. These are capabilities that we are supposed to strive for related to several areas in public health as well as other professions. So they're capabilities that a health department should have, for instance. A master scenario event list is basically a timeline, and you'll see how this plays in. And another tool that, so you would come up with a timeline when you're writing your actual exercise usually, and then exercise evaluation guides. So you look at capabilities, we'll usually write those when you're writing an exercise. You'll look at capabilities that you want to test, you'll write a timeline, and you'll write exercise evaluation guides to actually evaluate the exercise. Then you'll conduct what's called a hot wash right at the end of the exercise, and that's like a focus group with all of the people that participated. And then you'll write an after action report and a corrective action plan, which is more specific on who's going to correct what we found in the after action report. So those are basically, this gives you the actual steps. Selecting your objectives are based on the target capabilities. Then you write the scenario with a timeline, that's your measle. And you use these exercise evaluation guides. They'll usually have metrics with, okay, these people should have called their local pharmacies within 24 hours. Did they do that? Check, yes or no. It's that kind of thing. That's what the exercise evaluations usually look like. And then you you evaluate the exercise as you go, and then you conduct the hot wash, as we said, and write the improvement plan and the after action report. So what did we do? You know, the challenge is we don't have an exercise already written, right? I mean, we're going in several months later, and you're dealing with recall issues, and we really didn't ahead of time say, okay, you know, this is what we're going to evaluate, this is our timeline. So with using the HSEAT format, we really wanted to see how does it work or how doesn't it work in the case of a real event in public health. First, though, we selected the desired capabilities from the target capabilities list, and we also pulled some things that were not on the target capability list, some capabilities we felt the health department should have. Those were based on Health and Human Services checklists and CDC guidance and also state guidance. So we had several areas. A matter of fact, there was 9 areas that we looked at based on the target capabilities and those particular guidances. We then developed, I'm going to call it, event evaluation guides based on those target capabilities. We looked at the actual phone call, all the way from the phone calls that the state had with the local health departments and guidance they gave them there to see if they had actually done the things that were discussed in those phone calls to things on the target capability list. So we looked at a variety of different metrics for evaluation. We then sent the event evaluation guide and timeline tool to the health department 1 to 2 weeks prior to the site visit for them to fill out. This I was afraid would be quite daunting because it was about 30 pages. In the beginning, I will say we didn't do that with the first health department. They said, no, just send it. It gives us time to work on it. We then conducted the site visits. And so that morning that we met with the preparedness coordinator, we went over that timeline and the data collection tool we had sent ahead of time. And then in the afternoon, we did the hot wash. And then we are now writing the after action report. The beauty of it all is that you can give a nice practical tool to the health department, and you can also, while at the same time, gather quite a bit of data on the response. So it's kind of a win-win. So observation, things that we observed, were during the process using HSEQ to evaluate an actual event, there were several things that we observed. The documentation for a detailed response timeline was usually available, but in several formats and locations. We had some county health departments that used Web EOC. It's an online system for tracking your events. They had their timelines in there. We had other health departments, a lot of health departments had a communicable disease nurse that was that had a timeline of what she did. Then somebody over here that did the SNS had a timeline of how that went. So really we found that a lot of the timeline data was very piecemeal. And that's actually one of our lessons learned, is that different people were doing different things instead of having more coordinated. Even when ICS was there, several people were gathering data and doing different timelines. So that was somewhat of a challenge that we noticed. Recall was a challenge given the elapsed initial event was several months before. So recall, of course, was a challenge. And we'll talk about some ideas we came up with to deal with these issues. Lack of information on local response beforehand. When we went out to the health departments, because we were on a tight time frame, we really were going out with whatever data they just had filled out the data sheets that we had sent them. So we really were going kind of cold. There's some positives to that probably, but I think probably would have been a good idea to know even more about their response, some type of a timeline. We'll talk about that before we went out. The event evaluation guide was a bit too long. So I probably, looking back, would, if we knew ahead of time a little bit more about the health departments, would have shortened that a little bit. But on the positive side, the outside facilitation was definitely a plus. I originally am from North Carolina and lived at the beach, and I noticed that when I got down to the health department in the county where I'm from, it was a bit more challenging to step back. And, you know, we did have a lot of comments from folks that it was a definite positive to have somebody from the outside come in and do the hot wash and have the partners at the table, because they can bring out things that they didn't feel comfortable talking about before. So that was definitely a positive thing. So based on our observations, some recommendations are to have a central location, and this is really number one and two, and format for gathering data during an event, rather than everybody doing their own thing. An example would be, we asked a question about information that went out to response partners, when they sent it, by date and time, and what type of information they sent out. In the health department, most health departments had several different people sending out information to various partners. So one person would send out to the pharmacies, another person would send out to the pharmacies, another person would send out to the physicians, another person would send out to the schools, which is fine. But in all but one case, they did not have one central person that was tracking who was sending what. And we did find that there were cases, and matter of fact, in the midst of the hot wash, where they were surprised that two people were actually sending out information to a partner and did not know if it even said the same thing. So we really, one thing that we would suggest is to find, and we are suggesting this in the after action reports, is to find one person. The second thing is use standardized data collection tool, and that would go along with that. So have a central location where everybody can go, and certain questions where you gather data as you go. That will cut down on recall. And then obtain specific response timeline data at least 1 week before time to get an idea of what in the world is going on in this health department. So you can target, instead of having event guidelines that go on, you can target your questions a little better. And I think the outside facilitators was probably good. I think that's it. I don't know if we have time.
We have 1 minute for question or two.
Thanks for that. I think that was a very helpful one. I'm hoping to do something like this prospectively, so I'm going to take a lot from that. My question is whether the format for the after action guide that you modified a little bit really was helpful, or whether if you didn't have the restrictions on using that,
I think it was helpful. The most helpful part is really when for those of you familiar with the after-action reports, you do observations and then recommendations. That's pretty much the same anywhere. The challenge became tracking it back to the target capabilities, and we can talk about that. But that really is a challenge because usually you have that ahead of time, and that's where the challenge became in writing the after-action reports was the target capabilities. But we were able to put together the timeline, you know, and most of it we were able to use. So.
One question in the side here.
I can see why the instrument would be so long.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, if you're thinking of shortening it, would you reduce the number of target capabilities you're assessing, or would you just get on the information you collect on whether someone meets that target capability?
Both. Both, really. Because if we had gathered the data ahead of some data ahead of time, maybe, and we really didn't have the luxury of that, quite honestly. But if we, ideally, and this is a project that I would like to continue on, is if we could get people to actually do it during an event, we would kind of know what target capabilities we need to look at when we go out there, and we just simply didn't know. So some of that couldn't be helped, but I would definitely lower both. Thank you.
Thank you very much.